This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
According to this week's state crop report, rain is continuing to cause problems for producers in southern Illinois, while in other parts of the state, planting of corn and soybeans is beginning to wrap up. Statewide, the average temp was 71.9 degrees, and that's 3.9 degrees above normal. Precip averaged just under an inch at 0.98 inches, and that's 0.06 inches above normal. There were about 5 days suitable for field work during the week ending June 5th. Topsoil moisture supply rated 1% very short, 9% short, 72% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply rated 8% short, 79% adequate, and 13% surplus. Corn planted was at 97% compared to the 5-year average of 98%, and corn emerged was at 92% compared to 95% last year and the 5-year average of 93%. Corn condition rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 19% fair, 58% good, and 18% excellent. Soybeans planted were at 81% compared to 86% last year, and soybeans emerged were at 66%, and that's up 21% from last week. Soybean condition was rated 3% very poor, 3% poor, 21% fair, 62% good, and 11% excellent. Winter wheat headed was at 98% compared to 97% last year, and the winter wheat condition rated 3% very poor, 8% poor, 32% fair, 47% good, and 10% excellent. And now it's time for our local crop update. This week I talked to Phil Vonderhaar from Bond County, and Phil says they finished planting beans on Friday, and the corn and wheat crops are looking good.
Here in Bond County, there was some corn that had to be replanted kind of throughout the whole county, wide. It just depended on what areas got more rain than others. But then also, since we last talked, there's been quite a bit of bean planting progress made. On our own farm, we were able to finish this past Friday before the rain on Saturday. So not all the beans are up, but they're all in the ground, and hopefully we'll get good stands on everything there. The next thing would be is there's some wheat starting to turn rapidly, and wheat harvest is right around the corner.
Have you had, I was on the wheat tour, it's been a couple weeks ago now. Have you had any problems with any disease, or how's your wheat crop looking?
Yeah, there has definitely been some disease pressure in the wheat this year. Particularly stripe rust is one we've seen a lot of. We had that in our field as well. We were able to get out there in a timely manner and spray fungicide, and it definitely took care of that and cured what was out there and prevented it from spreading any further. But it's definitely been a problem this year in the wheat, stripe rust and disease. And then we'll have to see how head scab progressed, but I don't think that should be a major issue.
Well, definitely sounds like it's looking better than last year's crop. And how do field conditions look? I know you just got beans planted, but as far as corn goes, think you're going to have any issues with weed pressure?
No, I don't believe so. The stuff that was planted early is starting to close the row now and really starting to take off and grab the nitrogen. You can tell with the rains we've had and the sunshine, it's really helping that corn crop along. Even the fields that were replanted, there was a uniform emergence and a good stand that came out of those fields, so feel pretty good about the progress of those as well.
Well, sounds like all positive things. With it being Monday, any plans that you're looking forward to for the rest of the week?
Personally, on our farm, there is not as far as field work, but I know there's still guys that want to finish planting beans, and depending on where you were at in the county, got more rain than others past go around on Saturday, so hopefully with days like today, things will dry out and they can get back in the field as soon as possible.
Thanks again to Phil Vonderhaar of Bond County for that crop update. In National Ag News, the final countdown is underway for Congress to pass a GMO food labeling bill before a Vermont labeling law takes effect July 1st, possibly setting off a patchwork of conflicting individual state laws. But with Congress back for only a month before the presidential conventions, chances for a deal are not looking good. It's a top priority for American Farm Bureau and other groups that are trying to head off a patchwork of conflicting state GMO labeling laws. Then those laws may cause some food makers to stop selling in states with individual labeling laws. A Senate GOP voluntary labeling bill failed on a procedural vote in March when Democrats insisted on mandatory labeling, and their newest proposal seems to have fallen flat in private talks. American Farm Bureau's Andrew Walmsley says mandatory labeling that effectively puts a skull and crossbones on GMO products is dead in the Senate. The House approved voluntary labeling last year.
The consumer right to know talking point is bunk. I mean, that information is available today. Now, is there an easier way to convey that information to consumers? Absolutely. And I think that's something we're all working towards on trying to provide more transparency. I think you've seen some initiative out of groups like the grocery manufacturers and their members to do something like a smart label, which is a QR code or a website or a phone number.
Democrats insist GMO information must be immediately visible to consumers on food packages. Farm Bureau says there is nothing new to comment on regarding the latest proposal by top Senate Ag Democrat Debbie Stabenow. And Agriculture Republican Chuck Grassley says he's spoken with senators involved in the talks.
I had several discussions with a couple of the senators, and I won't name them, but I see a very difficult to get a compromise. That's the best I can tell you at this point. I hope something would develop this week that we could get something passed, but frankly, I doubt it.
Despite the ongoing discussions, food makers are not waiting around, as some already plan to comply with the Vermont law, and some are already placing generic non-GMO labels on their products. The National Bison Association wants to educate the industry and farmers on the production of bison. The association is scheduling 6 Bison Advantage workshops specifically targeting agriculture extension agents, vocation ag teachers, and prospective bison producers. The training comes as the association says wholesale bison meat prices are approaching $4.50 per pound, according to the USDA. The strong, stable prices are prompting more ranchers to explore bison production. 3 training workshops are scheduled for this month in Kansas, South Dakota, and Minnesota. The association plans to hold workshops later this summer in Illinois, Indiana, and North Dakota. And more can be found online at bisoncentral.com. And on a final note this morning, a friendly reminder that the International Road Check starts today and is happening until Thursday. So if you're driving a semi, be prepared for safety checks and a chance for slower travel time. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.